Hadith of the Day. A program from the Call of Islam.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Assalamu alaikum, welcome to COI Radio. Today's hadith is Hadith Qudsi. It's a conversation between Allah and the Prophet, and this hadith is found in Bihar al-Anwar. We're discussing now the traits of the people of the dunya, Ahlul Dunya. This is what the hadith says. Shuja'un 'inda al-ma'siyah. That the people of the dunya are brave when it comes to committing sin. Brave when it comes to committing sin. Now we want to see how we can use this hadith to better ourselves. We don't want to be people who are brave when it comes to violating Allah's law, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to be people who are very much terrified of violating Allah's laws. We have fear of Allah and practical fear of Allah, right? We have hadith which explain that remembering Allah practically is actually one of the most difficult tasks for believers. One of the most difficult tasks. And this is the hadith that says that. So this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "Shi'atuna alladhina idha khalaw dhakaru Allah kathira." He says that our Shia are the people who, when they are alone, when nobody else is around, they remember Allah much. But as I mentioned before, this has been mentioned as one of the most difficult things in the hadith, one of the most difficult tasks. So the Imam in another hadith explains that it is not the case, it is not simply saying tasbih. When we say dhikrullah, remembering Allah much, is not simply that we're saying subhanallah or alhamdulillah or la ilaha illallah. That's part of it. He says, walakin dhikrullah indama ahalla wa harrama. Remembering Allah when it comes to halal and haram. So the true believer is supposed to be like that, that when it comes to halal and haram, this person remembers Allah and they avoid him. The opposite of the people of the dunya who are brave when it comes to committing sin. Sometimes what happens is that people become professional sinners. They become so good at committing sin that it's like ice water runs through their veins. And we have to remember that sins have been mentioned in hadith as being addicting. We have some hadith which say, beware of the intoxication of sin, that sin, like alcohol, intoxicates, rather it is more addicting. So sometimes people become professional sinners and it gets good to them. They like it and they enjoy it. I remember hearing a story in the Islamic Republic of Iran, actually. They said that there was a young man, and he managed to steal from a couple, and he was later caught. So later, the old man, who was the owner of the house, said that, I want to speak to the thief. They said, okay. So he spoke to the thief. He said, okay, I understood that you stole from my house. He said, what I don't understand, he said, how did you steal the rug from underneath my wife and myself? This is an example of professional sinner. He says that what I did was I came into the house and I saw that you and your wife were sleeping on the rug. So what I did was I laid down in between you and your wife. I bumped you a little bit, then I bumped your wife a little bit. Then I bumped you a little bit, then I bumped your wife, then I bumped you, then I bumped your wife. I bumped both of you guys until you rolled off of the rug. I rolled the rug up and then I left. Right, so this person, ice water runs in through their veins. Other people are rookies when it comes to sinning. They're not used to sinning. They're not capable of sinning at that level. But this guy was a professional sinner. He was brave when it came to sinning. We always want to be rookies. We don't want to be strong and brave when it comes to sinning. So now if I know that's the case, how can I get away from sin? How can I escape sin? Sometimes I'm addicted to sin. I know that it's wrong. I'd like to get away from it, but I don't know how. A man came and he asked this exact same question to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Imam, he told him, he said that there's a sin. He said, I am a sinner. I cannot stop myself from sinning. I would like to stop. Please give me some advice. The Imam told him, he said, there's five things. If you can do these five things, you can commit as much sin as you like.
Really?
Yes. What are these five things? He said the first one is this. Don't eat from Allah's provision. Don't take from Allah's rizq. You get your own rizq from another place. That's impossible. He said the next one is leave God's authority. Go somewhere where Allah doesn't rule. Leave the wilayat of God. You have your own place, your own Lord. He said, third, go someplace where Allah can't see you. It's just you and Shaitan. Allah's not there. Shaitan, are you there, buddy? Yes. Is Allah there? No. Just you and Shaitan. He says, fourth, when the angel of death comes for you to rip your soul out of you, he said, you resist. You don't allow the angel of death to take your soul. And he says that the last thing is this, that when the angel of hell, Malik, comes to throw you into the hellfire, you don't go into the hellfire. You don't let him throw you into the hellfire. So what we see from the advice of the Imam is that we have to reach a stage where we feel there is no way out but leaving this sin. Desperation. They say that necessity is the mother of invention. If we feel desperate that there is no other way but to leave sin, we will find a way. But as long as we keep providing ourselves with excuses, well, tomorrow I'll change, these things, then we won't be able to succeed. So we have to take that, the hadith of the Imam, there is no other way. The first stage to getting anywhere in Islamic spirituality is to do the wajibat and avoid the muharramat, so we want to do that. If, God forbid, after we've made that firm intention, we slip, we want to pick ourselves back up, dust ourselves off, and continue on the way. But we cannot allow ourselves, or we cannot make the excuse of, I'm too weak to overcome this sin. One thing that happens to us is that when we are struggling to overcome sin, it's completely possible that sometimes we fail, sometimes we slip, sometimes we fall. So what happens is Shaitan at this stage makes us give up, makes us turn ourselves over to him. What we want to do is we want to follow the example of the little frog. They say once there were a group of frogs, they were traveling in the woods, two of them fell into a ditch. The other frogs who were on the top of the ditch were watching the little frogs inside, and they told them to stop jumping. You can't make it out. And the two frogs, there were two frogs, one of them stopped jumping and he died. One of the frogs just kept jumping and jumping and jumping till finally he jumped out of the trench. So the other frogs, they said, how come you didn't stop jumping? He said that actually I'm deaf. I thought you were encouraging me. So what happens is that we have to turn a deaf ear to Shaitan, continue to do those good things that we can do, and inshallah we'll be able to overcome the rest of the sins.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you.